Guide us along his path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
At the end of the service.
Praise the Lord. Good morning. We could just have everybody take their seats. We're going to do something a little bit different this morning. My wife and I have been very, very blessed, as well as you. We have had the privilege of sitting under Bishop and Kathy Thomas out of Margate, Florida. And my wife and I have been ordained through Pastor Mary Edlund since 95. And ordination, for some of you who don't know what ordination is when you get a call into ministry, a call, it's not a job, it's a call. And in that, it has to be recognized. Anybody who just decides to become their own little minister doesn't work. You have to be recognized and sent out. And so we are privileged this morning, and we're going to take the first part of this morning's service before praise and worship. And since we've been sitting under Bishop and Pastor Kathy Thomas, they're actually now going to be not just our oversight, but they're going to ordain us. And so you get to participate with our ordination service with Bishop Rick Thomas. So here we go.
He said, what is he doing dressed that way? Well, anytime I do anything official in the ministry, I have to wear my bishop's cassock. I believe in doing things in a proper order. I think we need to do things. We have a tendency in the church to have lost our honor and our respect and our value for certain situations and things because we begin to treat it like we're so familiar with it, it means nothing. So we made a decision when we were ordained as a bishop in 2007, I belong to an organization that is the Charismatic Communion of Churches. We have 387 bishops around the world. We represent 7.5 million people. And so I do not come here today just representing Abundant Life or Bishop Rick Thomas. I represent an organization that is world known, world renowned. In fact, we are the only Protestant group of people that the Catholic Church recognizes our bishopric. And the reason for that, back in the 80s, Jesse Duplantis, the Pope called him up and said, there's something crazy going on in our church. It's called the Charismatic Renewal. They're all getting filled with Spirit. And he says, I really don't know how to, could you come and teach me? I understand you're one of the great teachers of the movement. So he sat with the Pope and he told the Pope, he said, I will help you if the church will recognize us. So the Pope in 1983 recognized our group, which today I'm sure the Pope would like to take it back. But it was recognized, and therefore, because of that, it can never be removed. So when I stand before you today, we stand representing over 7.5 million people, 387 bishops around the world. This is not something to enter into lightly. This is not something that we enter into just simply because, well, I want to be a pastor, I want to be a minister. There's a lot of people who say they're called of God, but understand this. If you're ever going to recognize someone who's called of God, they have to be recognized by other ministers of credibility, or they're not really called. Your gift makes room for you. You not try and make room for your gift, but your gift makes room for you. A lot of people have gifts, but that's not because they're called into ministry. It's important to be able to differentiate between that. We need to understand that Stephen had more signs and wonders and miracles than most people can think of, but he was never one of the apostles. He was never set in a place to teach and train and develop the church in the ministry. So there's a lot of people who are gifted, which God gives an anointing to teach in the classes and things like that. And we need to recognize those and honor them. We call them deacons. We call them elders. We call them teachers. But not everyone is called to lead. Not everyone is called to the fivefold ministry. And it amazes me at times. I've had business people through the years that I had one gentleman. He was very, very, very talented and gifted. and he wanted to be in the ministry. And so he kept going back to the ministry. Every time he did, his business would go down. When he go back to his business, he didn't realize that his business gave him credibility to speak. There's a big difference when you have a gift that gives you an ability to be successful so you can influence people than when you're called of God and anointed and appointed for a role called apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. So today we're here to recognize your pastors. And I just want to just take a, and we're not going to be lengthy with this, but I want to take a moment. And I want to ask the church just a couple of questions, if that's okay with you. And, you know, and I just simply ask this, and Pastor, you need to know where we're going with this. We know that in kingdom protocol is that God creates everything with a purpose, design, and with a structure. We know that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth with purpose, design, and structure. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, it says that Jesus gave gifts to the church, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, that they might be able to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry. So my question to you today is, who do you say that pastor, I won't say use the word pastor, excuse me, I don't want to be disrespectful, but who do you say that Rhonda and Michael Spencer are today? See, what you declare them to be, that's who they will be to you. It's important to understand. Who do you say they are? It is evident what is their purpose. It's ministry. Their design and for service made evident in what they do. Look around. Structure is found in their ability to lead. Obviously, with the churches that you've raised up, the missions you've done, the church you've done here, they've been able to lead. He says in Matthew 16, 13 through 19, Jesus asked the disciples one thing. He said, who do men say that I am? Some say Elias, some say Jeremiah, some say one of the prophets. And then he turns to them, he says, and he gets real personal. He says, but it's important. You see, it doesn't matter what they say. You're with me. Who do you say that I am? Big difference. It doesn't matter what other people say about your pastors. It's what you say about them. How we think and what we say and how we look at someone will determine their ability to operate in their gifts. Mark 6, 3 through 4 said, Is this not the carpenter's son, a prophet without honor, except in his own country? In other words, Jesus could perform the Son of God could perform very few miracles because they refused to see him as Jesus, the Son of God. They saw him as the carpenter's son. It's how you view them. We know that Gideon in the book of Judges, he called himself, he would bow down. And he said, I'm nobody. But God said, you're a mighty man of valor. When his mighty men went to war, what did they say? They lifted, they broke the lamps. They came in the name of the Lord and in the name of Gideon. They used Gideon's name when they said that. Could not defeat their enemy till they recognized their leader that God had given to them. The men, the mighty men had to declare the sword of the Lord and Gideon. So who do you say that this couple is here in Horsehead or who here in New York or here in this vicinity? Who do you say they are? Because who you say they are will determine the future this church will go and the future that you will possess because God has called you to be here with them. The gifts of God are not limited in power. They're only limited by unbelief. If you fail to recognize God's gift, then it limits your ability to receive them. Familiarity will never be your friend. Don't think because he doesn't go to dinner or she doesn't go to dinner with you that they don't love you. It's just that if you get so close to them, you will no longer honor and respect the gift. What we do know is that they are called of God. We know that by the fruits that they bear. This church family has been a witness of their fruits, their righteousness, you've seen. They've given their lives for the kingdom of God. You've experienced their gifts of their ministry. You've seen healing, signs, and wonders. You've been a product of their love. Many of you have received Christ. Many of you have been walked through many difficult things because of their love for you. So the question again I say to you is, who do you say that they are? To the lost, they're a witness of hope. To the hurting, they're an arm to lean on. To the poor, they're a couple of compassion. To the rich, they're a messenger of purpose. To the confused, they're a voice of reason. To the sinner, they're an extension of God's mercy. But to the church, they're God's mouthpiece with a vision for this house. So again, you have to ask yourself the question, who are they to me? To God, they're a chosen vessel. To the body of Christ, they're a member of the fivefold ministry. To God's kingdom, they're a royal priesthood. To the world, they're a visionary with a message of redemption. To the kingdom of darkness, they're warriors of light. But that doesn't matter what all that is. Who does the tabernacle say that this couple is? If you say they're a friend, then you limit their ability to function as your pastor. If you say they are your equal, then you limit God's ability to speak into your life through them. If you do not recognize their spiritual authority, then you alter God's purpose for your future. Only when you know and recognize them as God's gift, as well as his mouthpiece into your lives, will you be able to activate and receive from their anointing. So the question I asked this church before we entered into this service is, who do you say they are to you? It doesn't matter who they are to anyone else. Because if this church can recognize the fivefold ministry gifts that stands before you, then this church has unlimited potential. The moment you think you can question their gifting, their calling, their vision, their authority, is the moment that you limit God's ability to speak to you. Everything that God does is with a purpose, design, and structure. He brought you here in this church to hear the voice of this man and this woman so that you can be perfected to work the ministry so that the world in which you live can change. That can only happen when you recognize who this man and woman are. If you would come and stand here, please. You know what? Let's stand over there so they can see you. They don't need to see me. As we enter into this, we make covenant together. And one of the things in covenant is the Lord's Supper. And we know in communion, it is a very special time. And so I'm going to ask Pastor Michael if he would take of the bread and give to your wife, symbolizing not just the covenant of marriage, but the covenant you have with Jesus and the covenant y'all have in ministry. If you both would partake, if you would please. It's the body of Christ that was broken. I declare healing. I declare miracle working power. Nothing broken, nothing missing, and nothing lost over your lives. If you would take of the cup, representing the blood of Jesus, the cup, we know that when he gave it to them, he said, take, drink, this is my blood. It represents an incredible covenant. It represents atonement. It represents forgiveness. But more than anything else, it represents freedom. Because sin no longer can control our lives. We've now gone from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of righteousness. We've now made a decision that we're going to live in the fullness of God rather than allow the fullness of men to control us. So partake of that, symbolizing the covenant. If you would stand here, please. Stretch your hands toward your pastors. I do not stand before you lightly. I do not stand before you for some kind of just a ceremony or symbolism. I stand before you 47 years of ministry. I stand before you as someone that has seen 26 churches built around the world. I stand before you as someone who has been able to sit at the feet of incredible prophets as well as at the feet of Jesus all these years. I recognize my calling and I recognize my gifting. And so with the authority that's vested in me, the kingdom of God, representing 387 bishops, representing 7.5 million people around the world, but more than that, representing this body of Christ that God has brought here for the supernatural release of his presence, I now ordain you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We breathe on them the power of the Holy Ghost. A fresh, new beginning. Never, ever, 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 ever look back, but always look forward. For what was can no longer be, and what is shall come. And I decree it and prophesy it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. And now I present to you your pastors, your prophets, your apostle, your evangelist, and your teacher. Pastor Michael and Rhonda Spencer.
Who's excited to praise and worship the Lord this morning? Hallelujah. All right, we know how to do this. Come on up front. I want to see this altar flooded. We've got a reason to praise God this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, what is happening here? All right. I want you to raise your hand if you've got a reason to praise God this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Let me just hear a hallelujah. Amen. All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you that praise breaks every single yoke of bondage. God, I thank you that if we have a purpose in our praise, that, Father, you are going to be just completely faithful to that in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, sing it out with me.
Bless the Lord, oh mighty ones. Bless the Lord, you heavenly hosts. Bless the Lord, all you his angels. And let all the earth be his dominion.
Come on, sing, bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, oh mighty ones.
Can I see you move a little bit?
Bless the Lord, you heavenly hosts. Bless the Lord, all you his angels. And let all the earth be his dominion.
Did you come to bless the Lord? Come on.
Come on, come on and bless him. Come on and praise his name. Come on, come on and bless him. Come on, come on and bless him. Come on and praise his name. Come on, come on.
Sing, bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, oh mighty ones.
Come on, clap, clap, clap.
Bless the Lord, you heavenly hosts. Bless the Lord, all you his angels. And let all the earth be his dominion. Come on, come on and bless him. Come on and praise his name. Come on, come on and bless him.
Come on, praise his name.
Come on, come on and bless him. Come on and praise his name. Come on, come on and bless him. Come on and bless him. Come on and praise his name. Come on, come on and bless him. Come on, come on and bless him. Come on and praise his name. Come on, come on and bless him.
Come on, sing it with me.
My praise is a weapon.
My praise is a weapon.
My praise is a weapon.
My dance 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 is a weapon.
My shot is a weapon.
My
shot is a weapon.
My
shot is a weapon.
My
shot is a weapon. Sing my shot. My shot. My shot. My shot.
My dance is a weapon.
And my shot is a weapon. My shot is a weapon. Come on, come on, come on.
My shot is a weapon.
My shot is a weapon. Sing my shot. My shot. My shot. This morning, hallelujah, hallelujah. just thank you that you inhabit the praises of your people. Jesus, I thank you that you want to come down here and visit us and touch our lives and move in our hearts today. Jesus, that if our hearts are open to receive from you, that you are faithful to give us what we ask for. Go ahead and just start asking God how you want him to move in your life this morning. You can come to him as your heavenly Father. I thank you, God, that we can approach your throne with boldness because you've granted us that access. Thank you, Jesus. No other God can be called a Father. No other God can be called a friend. No other God can be called Redeemer. No other God's coming back again. And how we love your name, Jesus. You're the beautiful one. We love your name. And how we love your name. We love your name. You're the beautiful one. You're the beautiful one. We love your name. We love you. And how we love your name, Jesus. We love your name. And how we love you, King of Kings. much you love him. And this is what it's all about right here. This is worship. Jesus, thank you so much for the sacrifice that you've made. Jesus, thank you for loving me in a way that nobody else ever could. Father, we just draw on your strength this morning. We just draw on your peace. We just draw on your joy. Jesus, no one else could ever be our strength. No one else could ever support us the way that you do. We just love you for that this morning.
You're my healing in the time of hurt. Come on, come on. If you believe that, just lift your hands and receive. Come on, just lift your hands and let him know what you need today because he is here. Hallelujah. Come on and sing this with me. Sing. You are my strength. Strength like no other. Strength like no other. Strength like no other. Strength like no other. Said it reaches to me. Reaches to me. Come on and sing that again. You are my strength. You are my strength. Come on and sing it out. Strength like no other.
Strength like no other.
Strength like no other. Said it reaches to me, reaches. Come on, who needs joy? How many of us need joy? Sing, you are my joy. You are my joy. Sing, joy like no other. Come on, y'all. Sing, joy like no other. Yeah. Hallelujah. Said it reaches to me. Come on, if you need joy in this place, you better sing this. Sing, you are my joy, Lord. Hey, joy like no other. Hey. Sing, joy like no other, yeah. Come on. Said it reaches to me. Come on and sing this out if you need peace. Sing, you are my peace. Sing, peace like no other. Hallelujah. Lord, you give me peace in my mind and peace in my heart. And I receive it all. And it's coming to me. Come on and sing in the fullness of your grace. Come on.
In the fullness of your grace.
Sing in the power of your name.
In the power.
Because his name is powerful. Sing, you lift me up.
You lift me up.
Hey, thank you, God, for lifting me up. Hey. In the fullness of your grace.
In the fullness of your grace.
Singing the power of your name. Cause your name is powerful. Your name casts out everything. Hallelujah, you lift me up. Hey. Come on and sing, you lift me up. Come on and sing, you are my strength.
You are my strength.
Come on and sing that out. Sing that out.
Strength like no other.
Sing, you give me strength like no other.
Strength like no other.
Sing, it reaches to me.
Reaches to me.
Sing, you are my strength.
You are my strength.
Strength like no other.
Strength like no other.
so much for your presence in this place. God, we speak to those that are struggling with hopelessness this morning. God, we speak to their spirit right now. God, you are always faithful to be right there. God, I thank you that your Holy Spirit is rushing through the congregation, touching and changing and healing people's lives right now. Father, we know this beyond a shadow of a doubt, that we have the awesome privilege of being in your presence. God, some people's minds are in many different locations. And I pray that God, right now, they'll apprehend every thought and imagination. Bring it into captivity, that God, we will give you the honor that's due your name. And that being in your house, Father, will be the opportunity to give you all that we have. Lord, I just thank you that today you love us. God, you've got a plan for us. God, you've got a word for us. God, we're not serving a dead, cold God that's in a grave, but we're serving a living Savior who's sitting at the right hand of the Father. We thank you that today, Jesus, you are praying and making intercession for us. Move in our lives, Lord. Take us to that next level. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of having the bishop here. God, we thank you, God, that he's going to minister your word to us today. Thank you, Father, that we're going to lay hold of that word. We're going to run the next length of this race to win. God, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. On your way back to your chair, can you say hi to five or six folks that maybe you don't know and say, good morning. You look marvelous.
Enjoy that, man. Bless
marvelous. Come on now, don't be a snob. Tell somebody.
To settle on into your seats and pay attention to the announcements that are up and coming.
Good morning, His Tabernacle family. My name is Sam. And we have an amazing opportunity for you to help serve in the worship department. We have choir auditions coming up Monday, March 25th from 5 to 6 p.m. right here at the Horseheads campus. If you are gifted with the ability to sing, and if you have a heart for worship, this is an opportunity meant for you to use your talent for the kingdom of God, and you don't want to miss it. Again, that date is Monday, March 25th from 5 to 6 p.m. here at the Horseheads campus. Come prepared to sing a song. Make sure it's a song that you love. Don't sing a song that you hate. That would just be weird. But make sure you're here, that you're ready to join this team, and we would love to have you. If you have any more questions, you can email Minister McKenzie at worship@histabernacle.com.
Hello, HT family. Miss Brittany and I are here today to invite you to a group. Join us at the group desk and sign up for groups today, or go online to histabernacle.com/groups. Families that grow and go.
Guess what, guys? Easter is right around the corner, and we are so excited to announce that we're about to have the best, biggest Easter egg hunt you can think of. But with this, we need volunteers, eggs, and candy. So if you could bring your donations to the His Kids desk any Sunday between now and Easter, that would be great.
Said you've got to put me first. He said, don't put me on your list, put me first.
This world needs more than 140 characters on a social media outlet. They need an encounter with God.
God didn't empower you just to fulfill your purpose. He empowered you that you would go beyond.
We must start living in the Spirit and stop living and trying to do God in the flesh in your own ability.
You're still the God that healeth me. You're still the Lord my healer. You sent your word and healed my disease. You are the Lord my healer.
Echo Family Church. Hello. I love that we get to participate with a God that is powerful, living, and active in our lives. I pray that you came in this morning with an attitude of high expectation for God to completely mess you up, mess everything up in your life, and then rewrite it all, right? So today, God is going to move in great power. So turn to somebody next to you and say, you're brilliant for being here today.
Brilliant for being here.
Amen, amen. We would like to welcome our live stream family. We love you so much and are so thankful that you've chosen to make God a priority in your day today. And we honor you. We also would like to welcome our guests this morning. If you are a guest in the house, we're going to ask you to lift your hand. We have a gift for you that a guest host is going to bring around. And then directly after service, we would like to invite you over here on this side of the building to come to our guest reception room. It's an opportunity for us to build relationship with you. We genuinely want to know who you are, and we love to talk about all of the things that God is doing here in this house, because we are highly favored and blessed. And we would like you to participate in that blessing as well. So if you're a guest, just keep your hands up. And then directly after the service, come to the side of the building and to the guest reception, and we would love to meet with you. We have an amazing event happening this week here at this house. And this is one of those moments that you do not want to miss. I teach my children all the time that when you have an opportunity to be in the presence of God, you do not miss that opportunity. Because that might have been the one moment that you've been waiting for, that you've been needing, that place that God had called you to be in. And because you let the world distract you, you didn't get where you needed to be. So I want to encourage you to join us at 7 evening, Tuesday evening, and Wednesday evening for our Empower Summit. It is empowering pastors, but the body is also invited to attend at 7 p.m. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday evening. And also, if you would like to participate with the entire summit, then you would be invited to register for just $29, because you are a His Tabber. You are part of the HT family. So it's only $29. We have daily sessions Tuesday from 10:30 and then 2 p.m. And then again on Wednesday, 10:30, 2 p.m., and then general invitation at 7 p.m. Wednesday night. And I'm sorry, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. So I would encourage you to move everything that needs to be moved to make sure that you are in the presence of God and that you are here at those times. Now I would like to turn it over for our tithes and offerings to Pastor Spencer.
Praise the Lord. Are y'all having a great day? Pastor Rhonda is on her way up to Ithaca to preach, and I believe we just secured our new location for Mansfield. Amen. So we actually were able to cut a deal with Kingdom Tapes, right down off of the highway by half a mile off the road. And if you're going down Route 99, you'll see the building over there on your left-hand side. And so we'll be starting the Mansfield campus in the next few months. And I don't know about you, that's pretty exciting, isn't it? Isn't it exciting to know that God doesn't want you to stay where you are, but he's got new places, new levels, new opportunities for your life? God's got greatness for you, not just sitting back and kind of surviving. Amen. Tell somebody, I am not a survivor. Tell somebody, I'm a thriver. I don't even know if that's a word, but it sounded good, didn't it? We're excited that today you're in the house. And I know that Pastor Pelko mentioned the guests, but I don't think anybody's hands went up. Are there any guests in the house? We do have a gift for you. If you're a guest, if you'll just slide your hand up real quickly. You're not a guest. I know. Anybody else? Is there any guests? Very good. Over on this side. Very good. Very good. I'm so sorry. No, you're definitely not, young man. Amen. We just want to, can you give all the guests a hand clap this morning? Say thank you so much for being here. We're getting ready to receive, not take, but to receive tithes and offerings. There's no greater gift than you can give than to be able to give what is most important to you. And whether you realize it or not, money wraps around your whole life. Can I hear an amen or oh my? How many of you go to work? You go to work because you love it. Right. When they give you a paycheck on Friday, you tell them, no, thank you. I just did this for the fun of it all. Amen. No, we sell our lives. Many people don't realize that, but we actually sell our lives. We give our lives to somebody else, and then they have the opportunity to use our life for an hourly wage or for a salary. And what we do on a Sunday in God's command to us is that we will tithe. What's a tithe? A tithe is a tenth. But what's so powerful about the tithe is declaring who is truly your supplier. You see, how many of you have ever lost a job before? How many of you have just been just straight up fired, didn't even know why? How many of you, you look for a job and you couldn't find a job? Listen, the one thing that you'll realize is that if man is your source, you're in trouble. Can I hear an amen? If man is your source or a company is your source, you are in trouble. What tithing does is it postures God to be the Lord over your finances. So that if there's trouble, listen, if you're a tither and a seeder, somebody said to me this week, Pastor, I'm struggling in my finances. I said, are you a tither? He said, yes. I said, are you a seeder? He said, yes. I said, then you need to go to God and say, Father, I'm a tither and I'm a seeder. Therefore, I'm positioned for you to make sure I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. You see, it is a posturing in the spirit. So I want to encourage you. Some of you have been the Lord over your own money for a long time. And I challenge you today to make God the Lord of your finances. Amen? We do that by the tithe. And then, of course, there are offerings. But I challenge you today, if you've never tithed before, this is the day to make God the Lord of the finances. Amen? And if you are a tither, I just want to say thank you so much. Without you, we couldn't do what we do for Jesus. We wouldn't be able to start the Mansfield campus. We wouldn't already be in Ithaca. We wouldn't be helping the church in St. John. We wouldn't be working in Mexico. Oh, and I just found out we have a new church in Puerto Rico. Hallelujah. So we have a new church down in Puerto Rico. And I just feel the will of God that we need to go visit that church. Jesus. But I'm excited about what God is doing. He's expanding. God will expand you as you trust him with the finances that he has trusted you with. Amen. Are you ready to give? If you're a guest in the house, what we do is we bring our tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you don't have anything, I pray that this morning you'll come touch the bowl or touch the basket and declare next week, God, I will not eat my seed. Father, I will have something for you. Amen? Stand to your feet. Let's make our supernatural proclamation. Are you ready? How many believe the Bible is true? You're awful quiet this morning. I said last week it was all right for you to be quiet. It was a time change. This week it is not. How many of you are excited about the word? Shout it out loud with me. I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. I said I'm a child of God. Then shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord with your tithe and your offering this morning. If you're watching by live stream, man, this is your opportunity right now. You can click on that give button and make sure you are a tither. If this is your church, this is where you tithe. That's right. That's what God has said. Now, if you're just watching, I challenge you to give an offering to sow into the kingdom, and you'll see that God will bless you. It's good ground.
How we love your name, Jesus. You're the beautiful one. You're the beautiful one. We love your name. How we love your name, Jesus. You're the beautiful one. We love your name. How we love your name, Jesus. You're the beautiful.
What an awesome privilege we have this morning to be able to hear Bishop Brook Thomas, our bishop. And we're very blessed. I want to remind everybody, as Pastor Pelko was saying about Empower Summit, you are welcome to the evening services. And I pray you take advantage of that. Tomorrow night, which is Monday night, will be Jim Raley from Ormond Beach. A powerful man of God. Bishop will be preaching on Tuesday night, and I'll be finishing out the week on Wednesday night. And this is mainly for pastors. We always invite pastors. This is really what it's about, is pastors and leaders. And what it does, it gives them the opportunity to be refreshed and reignited. That's what this year's theme is, to reignite. Where it's very easy for especially pastors that are 75, 80 people or less to get very discouraged. Our goal is to keep them in the ministry, amen, and see them thrive in the things of God. So if you'll do me a great favor, can you give a His Tabernacle love to Bishop Rick Thomas.
So the Lord. Yes. Glory. Keep standing for a moment. Reach over, take a hold of someone by the hand. Something I do wherever I go. You should know this by now. Grab a hand. Easy, guys. You don't have to prove you're a man. I don't know what it is with men. They always got to go. Makes them feel like they're something. I don't know. I just. Now give them a little squeeze. Another squeeze. One more. Why is that? My dad founded our ministry, Abundant Life, in Margate, when he founded the church over 42 years ago. He started out with God is a good God, God loves you, and God's going to bless you. The first squeeze is God is a good God. The second squeeze, that God loves me. And the third squeeze is to remind myself that God is going to bless my life. See, that's who the God is that we serve. Amen. Father, we thank you for your presence, your power, and your glory that is in this house. I thank you for a supernatural release into the hearts, into the lives of every individual that's gathered in this meeting, those that are watching by way of live streaming or however they may be listening to this service. But I'm asking, Father, for your presence and power to be made known. Let us have ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to receive. And I ask that you anoint my life one more time, that I might be that vessel, that your word will flow through, that will cause your body of Christ to move to the next level in the kingdom. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Let's celebrate him one more time. Praise the Lord. Praise God. You may be seated. I'm just curious, how many have never heard my ministry before? You've never been in a service with me. Is there anybody here who's never heard me before? Wow. Okay, so most of you heard me so far. It's been a good day. We entered into this season. This season, God spoke to us last, in fact, September, October, getting into the new year. And he spoke to me very clearly that this is a season he's going to take us beyond anything that we have ever experienced before. It was going to be a season of intimacy. It was going to be a season of positioning. It was going to be a season in which multiplication was going to come very quickly. And that it would be a season of prosperity and increase, two separate things. Most people think they're the same, but they're not. But you're going to increase in your ability to be able to influence the world in which you live. The prosperity will come from the area of which you begin to move into the area of your seed time and harvest. That is the time, talent, energy, as well as finance that you may be giving or sowing or doing with. You know, most people don't understand that when we deal with the idea of walking in the blessing of the Lord, that it's based upon certain principles. Everything God does, and we said earlier when we did the ordination, is God does everything with purpose, design, and structure. There's a purpose, there's a reason why. There's a design, which means that every one of us has something in us that God has put in us that causes us to do it better than anything else we could do. Things, and that's usually our passions and our love. You know, one of the things is that I love to sing, but I don't have the gift to sing. My wife is an incredible psalmist, songwriter, all of this. So God gave me one in my life that I can enjoy because I don't even like to hear myself sing in the shower, much less in church. And so I kind of sing very, you're one of those people who sing kind of like, I can hear myself, but it says under my breath. I just don't want anybody else to hear me. And so you understand, but you're gifted in certain areas. Some people are gifted in sales. Some people are gifted when it comes to math. Some people are gifted when it comes to being business people. Some people are gifted, like I said, with education. Everybody has a different gift. Some people can pick up a saw and a hammer and can build anything. Some people can go into the medical field and they automatically, physics and things like that just automatically comes to them. It's because it's a gift within them. See, every one of us has been gifted by God with things in us that he wants us to bring out of us so that we can produce what he has for us. So this year is that year. It's a year that God is positioning us for, believe it or not, for 2020. Because in 2020, we're going to have the most incredible move of the Holy Spirit that the church has ever had before. I'm just telling you, what God spoke to me very clearly about this year is that as he positions us, that when we move into 2020, then the voice of the prophets will be heard. They've not been heard completely, but now the world's going to begin to listen to the voice of the prophets. It's amazing to me. I was talking to Brother Ted Shuttlesworth the other day, and he was telling me about some of the political people that were contacting him now, wanting to know, what do you think? How do you feel? It's fascinating because, you see, we're moving in that place that as much as it looks like the world's turning away from the church, those leaders that don't know what to do, they're going to start looking at the men of God and women of God to find out what to do. We're heading into that season. But we want you to go to the book of Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. It's a familiar verse that you have. And it says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. That's the New King James Version. The Amplified Bible says, now to him who in consequence of, it's important we see something here. He says, now him who in consequence of, and we'll deal with that in a moment, the action of his power that is at work within us. In other words, when we tell people many times, we say, you know, there's consequences to this. What do we mean by that? We mean it's going to cost you something. We mean it's going to, it's almost a negative. You know, you got the consequences of what you did. That's how we teach our children, correct? But here he's saying something quite differently. He says there's consequences to being full of power of God. That if you get full of power of God, this is the consequence of you getting God in you. I mean, it's really fascinating when you see that. He says it, because of the consequences that comes with you taking the Holy Spirit inside of you, you better get ready for what's about to be done. Now, that's important because as we read this verse, let's go a little bit further and amplify it. It says this, the power that is at work within us is able to carry out his purpose. See, the power in us, the gifts in us, is so we can carry out his purpose. Not ask God to bless what we're doing, but say, God, what am I supposed to do that you're going to bless? See, if I can do what God's blessing, I don't have to worry about whether I'm going to be successful or not. If I quit asking God to help me and I start saying, God, what do you want me to do for you? Because God has his thing all under control. He says, for his purpose, do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think. Super abundantly, over and above. Turn to somebody next to you and say, super abundantly. Now, I don't know what that means to you, but really what it should mean is no matter what you've got, he's going to overflow it beyond anything you can comprehend. See, we get this whole concept that my God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, but we focus on supplying my needs. But listen to the latter part, according to his riches and glory. According to his riches and glory is that when he meets your needs, he's not just going to meet it, he's going to eradicate it. See, God's not interested in a need. He's interested in getting rid of your needs. He said Jesus came that we might be made whole, spirit, soul, and body. He wants to have the total man, if you will. And he wants us to be what he created us to be and do what he called us to do and does not want anything in our lives that will alter that. So as we read this scripture again, as we continue to read it, we see something else here. He says that it do superabundantly, far above all that we dare, ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. In other words, our imagination can't comprehend what God's about to do. The moment you think you can think of something, God says, I've already done one better. Now, it's important to understand that because when you see a vision, understand what you see is limited. You see according to where you are. God sees according to where you're going. Oh, come on. We'll get this over here. That's a little slow over here. See, we see where we've been and where we are. God sees where we're going. Never forget this. We talked this last year. God does not live in the past, and he doesn't live in the present. He lives in eternity. He comes back from eternity to our present to get us to where he is. God says, I don't want to go back and live with you. I want you to come live with me. He says, I've gone to prepare a place for you. I want you to be moving from glory to glory. I don't want you to stay where you are. Come on, look at somebody and say, can't stay where you are. But let you look at the church and you've got people that's been in the church for 10, 15, 20 years and they're in the same spot as they've ever been. Because they don't understand purpose. They don't understand design. They don't understand structure. Now, of course, we know Hosea says, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. A lack of what you don't know can destroy you. When we look at this word, he'll do exceedingly. The word exceedingly is over and beyond. Abundant means excessive, superior, more than necessary. Power, and I want you to get this, is what I want to focus on today, is the power, is miracle ability. It's the inerrant power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. It's moral and excellent ability to live right before God. It's the power to influence which belongs to riches and wealth. That's called dunamis. Now, let me help you with that. That same word power there, that same word there that is to give you the ability to live right, to give you the ability to walk right, to give you the ability to influence riches and wealth, is the same word that's used in Acts 1:8, and you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What we've got in the church is a bunch of people speaking in tongues and they think that's power. No, that's an evidence of the Holy Spirit. It is not the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, let me take a moment on that one. See, we spent our lives fighting with people about speaking in tongues. But the Bible says this. Watch this. The Bible didn't say that you're going to speak in tongues and that's going to be a witness. See, your witness is they shall see your good works and glorify God. They're not going to hear your big mouth. They're going to see your good works. When they see your good works, they glorify God. Not by you running your mouth, but by you backing up what you say. You see, that's been the problem with the church, is we've really not backed up what we said. You understand what I'm saying to you. You know, we have another story that's over in the book of Matthew, and it's fascinating to me as we look at that in Matthew chapter 25, and I'm just going to refer to that for a quick moment, and then I want to leave you with a couple of thoughts because our time is fleeting, and I hope you'll come back later this week. We'll do some more things. Praise God. Let me just get to where I'm going with this. In the book of Matthew, chapter 25, we find the parable of the talents, verse 14, all the way through that passage. I'm going to just concentrate on a couple things for you because of our time. We find that the master comes to his servants, and he says to them, I'm going to take my goods, I'm going to give you my goods, and now I want you to go take and work with that, right? That's not what he says at all. It says he gives, I'm going to read this to you because I want you to get this in your spirit. He says this, it says, for the kingdom of heaven, now watch, this is the kingdom of heaven, is like a man traveling in a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods to them. And one he gave five, to another he gave two, to another he gave one, according to their own ability. Everybody say ability. And immediately he went on his journey. The word ability there in the Greek is the same word as power. It's the same word that we find in Acts 1:8. It's the, of power. You shall receive power. And the same word that you find in Ephesians, that he would do exceedingly abundantly above what you ask, according to the power. In other words, what God's going to do is in you. Oh, Lord, help me here. Oh, God, bless me. He can't bless you because he's already blessed you with all spiritual blessings, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. He's not going to give you something that he's already given you. He might help. What you need is an identification of what you have. You need a revelation of what you have. You need to understand there's something inside of me that God has put in me that if I'll find that purpose, I can find the success that God's called me. Because if I'm walking in purpose, God blesses my purpose. And so this year, when he's going to take you beyond, he's going to take you beyond out of something that you don't know. He's going to take you beyond by what you've learned. I said he's going to take you beyond by what you learned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, come on, you got to learn something. Hide the word of God in your heart. You want to quit sinning? Start reading the Bible. We want to get played over. We want to be demons cast out. We want to go through 32 hours of counseling. We want to get in our group. And I'm not against any of that because we do all of the above. But at the end of the day, if you don't get in the Word, you're going to stay in that group for the rest of your life. You're going to stay in counseling for the rest of your life. You're going to have to go in the deliverance line every other week. But if you hide the Word of God in your heart, he says, you will not sin against me. You can't be in the Word and stay in sin. Oh, God, help me here. So it's a positioning that we have to find ourselves in so that we can fulfill what God has called us to do. And positioning is going to require something from us. We're going to have to be committed to that positioning. He says, if we're in Christ, we're a new creation. All the old things pass away and all things become new. He who knew no sin was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God. He said, Ephesians 2:6, he's raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This year, God said, I will position you for inheritance. I will position you for miracles. I will position you for influence. I will position you for blessing. I will position you if you will position yourself by the lifestyle you live. Peter walked on the water but did not want to stand next to Jesus at the cross. The 21st century church says all the right things but are not willing to get in position. We want the anointing, but we refuse to enter into the cave of Adullam under the man of God so that we can receive the anointing. We want to be healed of our leprosy, but we don't want to dip in the Jordan. We want the blessing, but we just don't want leadership. We want to escape corruption, but we don't want to hide the word of God in our heart. We want prosperity, but we refuse to be strong and of good courage. We want the windows of heaven to open, but we have a hard time with our tithe and offering. We want the Holy Spirit, but do not want the manifestation of speaking in tongues and signs and wonders. We want a shepherd, but we just don't want him to lead us. We want to be saved, but we don't want conviction and repentance. We want a church to grow, but we're not steadfast in the doctrine or the fellowship. We want Jesus as our Savior, but we certainly do not want him as our Lord. The church. See, you have to position yourself. I was down praying, and the Lord began to deal with me several years back. As I was studying, I was doing a teaching on the book of Acts. And I was reading in the book of Acts. I began to, especially in the first six chapters, when there was being filled with the Spirit and speaking in tongues, and the churches were beginning to grow, and they were reaching and going to the Gentiles. And the book of Acts is a fabulous book. But as I was studying, I began to pray. I said, God, let me ask you this. I said, why did you send the Holy Spirit like that on the day of Pentecost? Why would you do, I mean, why did you pick Pentecost? I mean, I'm kind of weird when I get stuff like that. I like to know when, where, why, what's going on, so I understand. Why would you pick Pentecost? The Holy Spirit just spoke to me very clearly. He says, you know, Pentecost is when they come in from their harvest and they bring their offering. Yeah. He says they bring their tithe, then they give their offering for the next season. Before the season even comes, they sow a seed before the next season comes. Okay? And I said, okay. He said, well, you need to understand. He says, when they come to the temple, my temple is a house of God. It's a house of prayer. So they're coming to the temple for prayer. I said, okay. He says, they're coming with their tithe and giving me praise for what they received. So there's prayer and there's praise. I think that's pretty good, huh? He said they are positioning themselves with prayer and praise. He says, but then they give an offering or a presentation, a seed of faith for what is to come. And he said they make that presentation and it positions them for the new year. He said it's called prayer, praise, and presentation. I said, okay. He says, anytime a people can get to a place of prayer, praise, and presentation, they enter into my presence. I release my power and they will experience my passion. Let me say it again. When you enter in through prayer, praise, and presentation, you release the presence of God. I said, you release the presence of God. Amen. He opens the windows of heaven for revelation with tithe, with praise. He inhabits the praises of his people. So now God's presence is made known. His presence is made known. His power is released. And his passion is realized. What would happen if his tabernacle could experience the passion of God? Let's quit asking God to do anything. Let me have a glimpse of your passion. Let me just see something about you. Let me have an understanding of where you are rather than asking you to come where I am. It is fascinating to me. And you've heard me tell this story before, and I thought about it coming in. I thought, Lord, I've told this story there before. But when my dad was going through the stories of his life, and at the age of 49, he suffered his first heart attack. And at age 51, he had another heart attack. By the time he was 57, he had four heart attacks. He had less than 30% of his heart that was operational. He had served God for all his life. He had pastored churches, given everything he had. All of us were raised in the church. And here he is, because of his medical condition, he's lost his house, he's lost his car, he's lost his finances, he's lost his health. And my mom has gone through cancer. She's had major surgery, and they're living in a townhouse with their son, who's a youth pastor. And I began to think about that. God, what was the deal? He said, your dad had all the right things to say, but he never positioned himself. Never positioned himself. Now watch this now. I said, God, you got to help me out. He says, your dad, the family has a curse on it. I said, but he's saved. He's been taken out of control of darkness. He said, yes, he is. But he said, but his mind and his body, he's never understood it. Consequently, he knows spiritually he's born again. His name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. He knows his sins are forgiven. He knows he's going to heaven, but he knows nothing about anything else with the kingdom. So he took me back to where my grandfather during the stock market failed in 1929. My grandfather was a very wealthy man, and he was a contractor. He had hospitals he was building, several hospitals. He had several schools he was building. He did a lot of things with the state. He had homes on the beach he was building. He was very wealthy. Just bought brand new cars for his house and had a group of men working for him, but, you know, the crews that were out working. But when the crash came in 29, he went to the bank and the banks were closed and he couldn't get any money and he couldn't pay his men, and then he couldn't pay the other things, the obligations he had. And my grandfather lost everything. And my grandfather sat on the doorstep of their house. My dad said he came around and saw my grandfather sitting on the step, and he was crying and he's weeping. And my father said to him, he says, "What's wrong, Dad?" He said, "I went to the bank." He says, "The stock market has crashed. We've lost everything. Watch this now. And we're never going to get it back." And that's when the Holy Spirit spoke to me about, said, that's where the generational curse came on your family for Papa, for finances. And I'm going, "But wait a minute, my dad's born again." He said, "It doesn't matter if he's born again, because if he doesn't have a knowledge of what is, he can never have what will be. If you don't have a knowledge of what is, you can never have what will be." Consequently, I began to talk to my dad about it, and we began to pray about it, and we began to take authority over that curse. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to mess some of you up a little bit, but don't you stay with me a minute. You can take authority over a curse, but if you don't get into prayer, praise, and presentation, that curse is not going to go anywhere. Because your prayer, praise, and presentation means I'm leaving the past behind. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not going to be in that anymore. I'm not going to live that way anymore. You see, it's a familiarity. It's not familiar spiritually to you. It's familiar to your mind and to your flesh. And so that's where you got to be led by the Spirit and not by the flesh. You got to bring your body into subjection. You got to tear down imaginations. You got to stay focused on where God's taking you. And the only way you can do that is when you begin to move into that place where you're talking to God, you're praising God, and you're walking with an offering, because everything God does is with seed time and harvest. God created heavens and earth with what? His word. What's his word? His word's a seed. You've heard me teach that. God brought salvation to mankind. How? He gave his only begotten son. Who's his son? Incorruptible seed, word of God. Couldn't create without seed. Couldn't get you saved without seed. How's he going to sustain the earth? As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest. This rich ruler gave, master gave his 5, 4, or 5, 2, and 1. What happened? He comes back and he reckons with them. The one with the 5 multiplied it. Guess what he said? "Well done, enter into my joy." Oh, some of you are going to get this in a minute. See, if you're not fruit bearing, you're not bringing glory to God. Genesis 15 says this, 15 and 8 says that when we bear fruit, it glorifies God. People see our good works, which means success, it glorifies God. God gets glorified when you produce fruit. You can't produce fruit without prayer, praise, and presentation. It doesn't happen in your life. It'll never happen to you. But the moment you begin to develop the lifestyle, and so I remember my dad, when we prayed over my dad, we broke that spirit off of him. He went to a meeting. He got healed immediately. It was in a matter of a few weeks he got healed. He had an experience with God. God spoke to him about a situation. He says, "I want you to go back and start the church. I want you to get back in position now." My dad says, "You don't understand. We've lost everything. I've gone through all of this. I've gone through all of this sickness. I've gone through all of this. My wife has gone through all this. Now, I know you've healed us, but we're still living in a townhouse with my son. We still don't have a home. We still don't have a car. We still don't have any money. We still don't have any. I know we're healed and I know we're saved, but there's something missing." Oh, come on, tell somebody, you want the whole thing. So God spoke to my dad and said, "I want you to start Abundant Life." My dad went to a place, one of these loan people that they have in these storefronts at high interest, but they loaned him $1,000 on his signature. It took the first payment out before he left. You know how that goes. And he took that $1,000 and he said, "You know what? I've got the prayer right. I praise him for my healing. And now I'm about to make a presentation with the only thing I have that I have the ability that has value." And he started the church with $990. Funny, isn't it? The curse is broken. You can be healed in your body, but you're not going to walk away from that curse till you start making a presentation. "Oh, I don't know about that." Okay, let's go to the book of Genesis, chapter 15. Let's look at Abraham. He's fussing at God. "This child, I don't have an heir." God says, "Where's your heir?" He says, "You know I don't have an heir. Let one of the servants of my house be the heir." God said, "Absolutely not. Come out here and look at the stars, son." He looked at the stars. And God said, "Can you count the stars?" He said, "No, I can't." He said, so shall your seed be. So now he began to believe God. Now watch this. He believed God. Why didn't he believe God? He's believing God. And God counted to him for righteousness, being right with him. Pretty good deal, isn't it? I'm in the presence of God. I've been talking to God. That's prayer. I'm in the presence of God. We're communicating. This is awesome. But then two verses later in chapter 15, he comes to God. He says, now, God, I know that I'm in your presence. I know that we've been talking. We've been praying. I've been praying. You've been talking to me. He says, but how do I know this is going to happen? He says, build an altar and give me an offering. Go back and read it, chapter 15, book of Genesis. Build me an altar and give me an altar. You know why? Because I don't care how much you're in the presence of God, and I don't care how much you talk to God. If you're not understanding faith without works is dead, then you're in trouble. And if you don't understand the nature of God in the book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 26, such is the kingdom of God if a man should scatter seed. If a man should scatter seed. Such is the kingdom of God. Such is the sovereign will of God. If a man should scatter seed, such is the kingdom of God. A man, the master gave to gave to the people ability, that which they already had the ability to do. He gave them the talents based upon what they were capable of doing. But then he came back and he said, I want to see the multiplication. When he came back to the one with five, he said, well done, enter in thou good and faithful servant. He multiplied. He went to two, well done, thou good and faithful, enter the joy of the Lord. To the joy of the Lord. See, the way you're going to get some joy in your life is beginning to multiply. He got to the one with the one. He said, I didn't do anything. I put it in the dirt. Hit it. Here it is. He says, you know what you are? You're a wicked servant. One translation, he calls him an evil servant. One translation says, you're ineffective. You're an ineffective servant. You have no relevancy to me. You have no ability. Watch this there. You have no ability to influence anyone. If we're going to change Horsehead, we're going to have to be in a place, a position that we can influence people. And the only way we can influence people, we can have the greatest services in the world. We can be in the presence of God and the glory cloud can fill this place. But until we start sowing our seed and start believing God for the supernatural manifestation, you're never going to see the fruit that God wants you to have. You're going to hear about it. You're going to talk about it. You're going to feel it, but you're never going to have it for yourself. And I learned a long time ago, I want you to get yours, but bless God, I'm going to get mine. Amen. Why? Because I love my neighbors and I love myself. If I don't learn to take care of me, my neighbor's in big trouble. And the way I take care of me is through prayer, praise, and presentation. The way I fight my battles is through prayer, praise, and presentation. The way I take the enemy down is through prayer, praise, and presentation. The way I'm going to defeat the enemy on every place I come in contact with. I don't care whether it's sickness. I don't care if it's his finances. I don't care if it's family. I'm always looking, what seed can I sow that I can come before God and I can pray and I can praise him and I can sow a seed, because a seed of time, talent, energy, and finance can change the whole world. My wife and I, we had, musicians, please come. We're going to close. My wife and I, we had a situation in our church that a man had done some things. He was going on a legal thing for over 7 years. A lot of money, $1,600,000. The man had embezzled. We didn't know what to do. We'd spent $400,000 in legal fees. Church just couldn't go any further. I'm down praying. God says, what didn't you remember what I told you? Prayer, praise, and presentation. You thank me for deliverance. You pray to me all the time. We talk all the time. He says, here's what I want you to do at New Year's Eve. I want you to sow a $25,000 seed. I said, God. He says, go to your retirement. You got it in retirement. Take it out. Sow a $25,000 seed. Watch what I can do with the $25,000. You spent $400 of the church's money on your own. Now watch what I'll do with your money with me doing it. Sow the seed. The first week of January, the man calls us up. He says, you know what? I'm tired of fighting this thing. I know I'm guilty. I'm willing to plead guilty. They got no money yet, but he's willing to plead guilty. He got 13 counts. 17 years he's in jail before he's up for any kind of parole. Had the bank call me up that was involved in and said, listen, we don't want to deal with this anymore. Will you take an $850,000 settlement towards this? I'll take it. This is all in a matter of 4 days. 6 days later, I get a guy call me up. Will you go to lunch with me? Sure. We go to lunch. He sits there, says, you know, we don't live here anymore. We moved away, but you're the one that prophesied to me. God bless my wife and I. You're the one that prayed us through. We just sold our company for $80 million. And he took and he pushed a check across the thing. He says, of course, we go to another church in another town. We got to take care of our tithe up there. But he says, I can never forget what you did. And he pushed a check, $560,000 across the table. Had another man call me up and says, you know, we got this charitable account in our business, and this is crazy. God spoke to me and said, give it to the pastor. He knows how to do it better than you do. Had another man call me up, $100,000. Another man, in less than 9 days, we had $1,700,000 in the bank. I'm not just talking stuff. I got Minister Reese up here. He can verify these things. Prayer, praise, but here's the deal. The presentation has to be out of you. See, Dad had to take the seat out. He had to go take what he had. Kathy and I couldn't use the church money. We had to take our retirement money. That's hard sometimes. Prayer, praise, and presentation. That's how I fight my battle. You want to come after me? Go right ahead. But you can't defeat me. Because what's in me is going to come out of me. It's the glory of God. It's exceedingly abundantly what I should think. Why? Because I live a life of prayer, praise, and presentation. I raised my children that way. I've now raised my grandchildren that way. They'll come to me. It's so funny because I don't carry dollar bills with me. I have to be careful because some people take it the wrong way. I came to a conclusion back in the early 2000s, 2003, that $1 bill never met a need that I had. I'm not talking about Cokes and sodas. I'm talking about it didn't meet a need. So I said, Lord, I'm going to trust you, and I'm never going to keep a dollar bill. So I take them, so I get change all the bills, I just put it aside. So my grandkids come in, I give it to them. And they love it. Because any given week, it could be $20, $30, $1 bills to those three kids. Man, they're out there dividing up who's what. But here's the funny part about it. Because they've been taught that, and I'll say to them, like this past week, I gave them each five $1 bills. It was $15 I had. I gave them each one five. I said, what are y'all going to do with it? Michael Cash says, well, I'm going to give three to Jesus, and I'm going to keep two. I said, you can just pay your tithe, Michael. He said, oh, no. He says, I've learned. He says, if I honor Jesus before I honor me, he's not 8 years old. Prayer, praise, and presentation, Poppy. I know how to move the hand of God. I know how to enter the presence of God. I know how to release the power of God. I know how to walk in the passion of God through prayer, praise, and presentation. See, I don't care how many have had the curse broken off of your life. Until you begin to position yourself. Everybody say position. See, you got to position yourself. Those that are willing, the successful people are willing to do what the difficult, while the unsuccessful people won't do the difficult. The people who know how to walk in the presence of God will do what the people won't do that are not in His presence. That's the reason you can sit in service and somebody's getting blessed and you're going, I don't feel nothing. You know why? Because you need to examine your prayer, praise, and presentation. Every service I go to, I made up my mind, I will never go to a service in my life that I'm not presenting an offering. I tithe at home. But wherever I go, every travels with me. Everywhere I'm at, I don't care if they take up an offering, I'm giving. You know why? Because I want the fullness of what God has for me. I don't want to live in the past. I don't want to be incarcerated in the present. I want to continue having God move me to eternity where He's at. And the only way I know to do that is there is no eternity without the sowing of a seed. Prayer, praise, and praise. He said, what are you saying this to me? It's time. Listen, you've been taught. The curse is broken off of you. Right? But how many of us are not living like the curse is broken? Come on, stay with me, folks. How many are living like it's not? Had a little lady come to me. She's about 34 years old, single mom. She comes to me, she says, I'm going to be losing my house. And I don't know what to do. She says, I've been trying to put some money together, and they said that I don't have enough money because they need, like, she's like 3 months behind in taxes and stuff like that. And she says, I have $6,600, but they said it's not enough. And they won't take just a partial thing. I've got to do it all, or they're going to take my house. I said, okay, what do you want to do? She pulled it out. She took an envelope. She put that $6,600 in it. She said, I want you to pray over this thing because I want to do what you've been preaching. And I'm looking around. I got people in my office. I'm like, oh, God. Nothing worse than a pastor taking from a 30-some-year-old young African-American woman, single mom, who's losing her home and taking her last $6,600. Boy, that plays well in the papers, doesn't it? I said, you don't want to do that. She says, you don't understand. I don't have a choice. I said, okay. So I took it and put it in her hands. We prayed over it. Power of God just filled that room. And the spirit of prophecy came over me, and I began to prophesy to her. And I said, you will not lose this house. Not only will you not lose a house, but you will have that house debt-free within a year. And I'm thinking, what are you saying, you dummy? That's my head speaking. You know what I'm saying? Because it's coming out, and I'm going. So we finished. Tears running down her face. I mean, the power of God filled that room. It was so precious. The Holy Spirit then says, now hand it back to her and tell her it's an Isaac offering. I gave it back to her. She's like, I said, no, you got to. I told her what it was. She left. God gave her an idea in her company that she worked for. She went to her CFO and he said, listen, it's not just for our company. Listen, why don't you take and trademark that thing? He says, and I'll tell you who to go to. Hey, and you can sell it to these Fortune 500 companies. 1 year from the day that she brought the presentation, she had now released her thing to all her idea, all of these Fortune 500, bought, sold it to them, did contracts with them. She made her first $1 million in less than a year. Now, here's the thing. The bank contacted her and said, there's been some paperwork mistakes. We can't really find everything to do with yourself. The bank that loaned you the money, that bought the bank, that we bought that bank, we can't find it. She went to the judge, and the judge said, gave the bank 60 days to come up with information. They didn't. The judge said, your house, free and clear. It's time to position ourselves. And we are going to take up an offering this morning. You know me. I don't preach this and don't practice it. But I want you, before you do anything, I want you to think about what is that area that has been stalemate in your life. You want God coming back from eternity in your present circumstance to take you into His eternity with Him. You want to move from one level to the next level. I don't want, you can't buy this. You're not buying it. It's an act of faith. Please, God, help us to understand this. I could not buy the miracles. It's an act of faith. It's what, and why is it money? People always say, why is it money? Because that's what moves you. If I said, if you go home and stand on your head, even though you can't, you go home and try it. Because it's no big deal. But the moment that you got to take something that cost you, it's going to take something out of your life, that if God doesn't do something, you're in trouble. You know, to me, it's like when I go overseas and I have people come up in wheelchairs and they want me to pray for them because they've already told everybody we're having a healing thing. I know the moment I step off that platform and lay hands on them, they better get in that wheelchair. But I've got to get off that platform. I've got to get out of my comfort zone and go down there so something can happen. And unfortunately, in the United States, the only thing that makes things happen in the United States is when you're willing to reach in your pocket, because money's become the god of this world in the United States. And what we're saying is, you're no longer, what you're saying with this is, you're no longer my God. I'm going to give it to my God. You've got to take authority over the strong man. And that's why prayer, praise, and presentation is so important. I challenge you, after we leave here today, after I'm gone 6 months from now, everything you face, go to the place of prayer, praise, and ask God, what is the presentation I need to make? He will have a seed for you to sow every time. It might be your time. It might be your talent. It might be your finances. He might have you go somewhere. He might have you talk to them. But what is he doing? You're positioning yourself. And the reason we're going to do an offering today is an act of faith positioning ourselves. We're going to position ourselves that God, and I found out a long time ago that what we found with that what we did, my wife and I, what my dad did, we had to do something that cost us something. Because without it, it's not in faith. I know this sounds crazy, but standing in Columbia, taking up an offering for the church there, building a new church, helping them raise the money. Pastor asked me to challenge him about it. I was doing it. I said, I'm going to give $1,000. The Holy Spirit starts laughing at me and says, that won't move you and it's not going to move me. So I come back to the congregation. I said, okay, I'm going to give $2,000. I'm in Columbia. That's not my church. I'm visiting. I'm a guest speaker. The Holy Spirit says, won't move me, won't move you. So I said, okay, I'll give $5,000. The Holy Spirit, not going to work. So I stepped back. I said, pray, lead some worship. You know, let's think about what we want to give. I'm back there praying. The Holy Spirit says, give them $10,000 and I'll show you what I'll do. So I sowed the $10,000. See, I've been seeking. I needed some answers in church growth. I've been going all over the world researching all the things and doing everything. Just never found something that worked. I walked off the platform. This church is a church that in 7 years went from zero to 27,000 people. Walked into the green room, walked in, sat down. The pastor sat down next to me. He says, you know, I don't understand it, but doing that offering, God spoke to me. I'm supposed to mentor you in church growth. Pretty cheap seed for what God's done for us. We were in a property on 1490 Banks Road. Now we're over on Royal Palm Boulevard. We were in a storefront. Now we're in one of the most prestigious churches in the whole city. We're in a place that nobody knew us. Now we're in a place that everybody knows who we are. Pretty cheap seed, wasn't it? But it cost me something. But once I sowed it, it didn't mean anything. So I want you to hand out the envelopes if you would please. I'm reluctant at times because I've been here enough. I'm always taking offerings here and I'm to the point and I go, God, I don't want him to say I got to leave my wallet at home when he comes. Because I'm really not after your money. I'm really not. I'm before God, I'm really not. God knows my heart. I'm after getting this church to a place. There's nothing like having a church filled with people who have no debt. I've got young entrepreneurs in my church that are blowing and going. I got a young guy that started a business. He came to me, started a business, took over a mom and pop shop business. He's 4 years into it now, and he's gone from a thing that was producing a couple $100,000 a year to now he's producing $3 million a year. That's what I get thrilled about. 33 years old. I love that. I can't wait till he gets to be 50. Think what he can do for the church. And I won't be there, but think what he can do for the kingdom. I'm building for the future, not for the past. Take that envelope, I want you to write across it, prayer, praise, and presentation. Prayer, praise, and presentation. We got to get out of here. You got another church coming. I know it's hard in the parking lot. I hope you'll come Tuesday night. I'm going to talk to you Tuesday night about the kingdom. Kingdom of God is positional and transitional. And I think you'll be blessed Tuesday night. God's given me a revelation of the kingdom like I have never seen before, like I've ever heard taught before. So I hope you'll be here for that. It's dealing with the we call it uncultured. The church is uncultured to the things of God. Prayer, praise, presentation. I want you that when you sow that seed, whatever it is, you can make the check to His Tabernacle. Or if you do a credit card or however you do it here. See, I'm big on writing stuff. You got prayer, praise, presentation. On the other side of that envelope, I want you to write this. My faith. My faith. Why? because this is your faith to sow this seed. The instructions you follow determine the future you possess. I'm not going to write it. Don't write it. Disobedience, sin of witchcraft. So you're trying to put pressure on us. Yep, I am, because I'm trying to get you free. You say, well, I don't have anything to give. If you have nothing to give, still fill out the envelope. Faith is a funny thing. Ken Copeland put a pencil in an envelope one time because he had no money. True story. He was at Oral Roberts University. Oral was raising money. He had no money. He said, the only thing I got is the envelope and the pencil you gave me. So he wrote in there, he says, I'm going to commit X amount of dollars. I don't have it, but I'm going to give this pencil as a seed. Everything finished, they took up the offering, took up the envelope with the pencil in it. Ken was on the way out the door. The lady comes running up to him. That was in the front of the auditorium, he was in the back. Come running up and says, sir, don't leave. He said, what? She said, God just spoke to me and told me to give you this. Handed him a check, and it's exactly what he committed to Oral. See, faith is a funny thing. Action of obedience is a funny thing. Instructions you follow are a funny thing. Prayer, praise, and presentation, my faith. You got it? Put your hands on it. I declare now, Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit that is in this house, that this offering will not be just an offering. It will not be a token, but it represents their faith. It's going to move them in a dimension like they've never been moved before. And I'm declaring the supernatural release right now. The same release that came in my life and my wife's life, the same release that came upon that young lady in our church, the same release, Father God, that came upon that young man that started his new business, let it come upon this household now. Release them, for they now position themselves for exceedingly abundantly above what they could ask or think. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Gentlemen, if you would wait on the people, please. Pastor, I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Praise God. How we always do with the offering is we bring ours to the front. If you'll just bring the offering, your seed, to the Lord. Hallelujah. Ooh, almost fell. One of the things that you have to grab a hold of when the bishop starts to preach is simply get your pen, because you know it's going to be deep. You know, I love the fact of the nuggets that he drops in our spirit, and that my wife and I have been transitioned. This house has been transitioned. And every time you take that step of faith, you will find that God will always bring an answer. This morning, if you have a prayer need, I don't know what it is, but the prayer team's going to be around the front of the altar. If you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm going to have Mindy come and stand right here. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you, God, for your word that is truth, and God, that your principles are from everlasting to everlasting. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that, Lord, those that are cynical, I sense that in my spirit. I sense a cynical spirit. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. God, I pray in Jesus' name that, Father, we will step into the principles of your word and flow, God, and do as your word declares. And Father, we will see the increase that you have called and have prepared for us already. So Lord, we release the power of God in Jesus' name to gain wealth. Lord, increase your house, increase your people, increase their lives, destroy debt, God. That Father, we will be people that will be a testimony to our community that our God is great and our God is powerful and our God is supernatural. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Don't forget, make sure you come during the week tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Pastor Jim Raley.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight.